You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with How to Fight with Your Faith.
Be seated. Glad to see everybody tonight. How y'all doing? How's the rest of y'all doing? Amen. Well, all right. Pastor Marcia said, I guess it was a, I don't know, UPS man or the FedEx man came to the house and happened to recognize us and said, when you're going to bring the talk show back? I said, you need to do the talk show. She kept telling me that, and I said, what is he talking about? And I guess he was talking about the broadcast where us teaching together. So he, that kind of partially inspired us to go to do the talk show. This is the Herb and Marcia talk show. As we talk about the Word of God, he said he kept on saying it. He as he left the house, said, bring the talk show back. Bring the talk show back. 1 Timothy 6, chapter verse 12. And we're continuing to talk about how to fight with your faith. How to fight with your faith. 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast profess a good profession before many witnesses. So God has called us to live this eternal life, this great life, this Zoe life, this life with nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking, this life with victory, this life of joy, this life of peace, this life has the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. And yet it says, even though we're called to it, and even though we profess it, you got to fight to lay hold of it. In other words, just because God wants us to have it, it doesn't mean that the devil will not try to keep it from us. And the main way he tries to keep it from us is through our thought life. Through our thought life, through thoughts of doubt and fear and unbelief. And so our work is to labor to be in faith. That's the work of the believer. Say, my work is to believe God. Jesus even said that one of the gospels. He said, this is the work of God, that thou might believe on Jesus. So that's the work. All the other things that we're trying to do and trying to make stuff happen, we got to get to this place that we expel all doubt and just believe God. Period. Okay, I don't care what things look like. God wants to get to this place. Say with him, say, I believe God, period.
I believe God, period.
Amen. And so that's where we got to get the point. Doesn't matter what's happening. I believe God, period. Let me show you something here. Look at John 6, 26 through 29. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. Jesus just got to feed the 5,000. And then he says, Then Jesus kind of disappeared on them. as young people say, Jesus went ghost on them. Jesus would do that often. He would go ghost and then show up somewhere else. So Jesus goes ghost and then he shows up someplace else. And they say, well, Lord, how did you get here? And they started asking him about bread. They had just, it really dawned on me when I looked at this here. That must have been the best fish sandwiches they had ever had in their life. Okay, I wasn't a fish sandwich. It was a fish sandwich. Some of y'all know the difference. There's a good fish sandwich and a fish sandwich. They had some good fish sandwiches, and they followed Jesus around asking him about bread again after he fed the 5,000. Okay, the same chapter. Pick up verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracle. You seek me because you saw the miracles. You seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Y'all follow me because you want some more sandwiches. Okay? You see what he says here? Verse 27, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What do we need to do to work the works of God? Look at Jesus' answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, come on, read it with me. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he has sent. That's the work. The work we got to do is to believe. Even our fasting, that's not working to get God to do something. That's what no, that's doing. That's working to get you to the place of receiving it. You all understand what I'm saying? It's not working to get God anything. Go to Hebrews 4. Okay, because while we're talking about fighting with our faith, we got to understand what we're doing when we're fighting with our faith. When we're fighting with our faith is getting to the place that we let our faith do the work. Hebrews 4, starting verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into the rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Short of what? Short of entering to this place of rest, which is a place of faith, y'all. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? With faith in them that heard it. So you have to take the word that you hear us preach, take the faith that God's put in you, and mix that faith with the word you hear to get results. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into stress. Oh, well, why are you stressing? Ye which believe do enter into rest. So one of the ways to you can always evaluate whether you're really in faith or not is if you're stressing. If you're stressing, then you're not in faith. I don't care how much confession you make, what you say. If you are stressing, you are not in faith. I told you when the Lord first gave me revelation of this. Some of you heard me say when I was a teenager and I was in the hospital for 2 weeks, I had a bleeding ulcer and that. And throughout my teenage years and even to the early, into the first couple years of our marriage, I suffered a lot with my stomach and ulcers and all that. And God had healed me of that. And when we were building this worship center here, that was 2004. I was believing God that we would build it debt free. Okay. I got something from Pastor Dolly last night that just blessed me so much. He said, all this stuff that we putting this pressure on ourselves to get stuff done, sometimes just pride. Okay. So we built it debt free and then what? So now we say able to say Herbert Bailey built the building debt free. Okay. Some stuff we're trying to do is that it ain't about God. It's about us. We're trying to prove something. Okay. And so, I think we started off, this whole project was going to be about, I knew it was going to be $1 million. We started off, we had about 400,000 every week. I would get up as we were building and tell everybody how much, you know, same way we did kids town, telling how much we needed this week. And the offerings would come in and sometimes would come in. And then we had some real big ones come out. I remember when the real big one came in. The real big one came in. Some of y'all see, you really don't see them. You probably, they're part of the complex now, but all these pipings running around here, that's a sprinkler system. The sprinkler, most of the contractors, when they were building it, they would build you in increments. You know, we completed 20%. I thought we just had favor with the sprinkler guy. They didn't. They wasn't sending us no bill. They just came and put everything in and prayed God. They ain't going to bill us. The Lord told them to bless us with sprinkler system. All of a sudden, bill came in, $150,000. Oh, Ecobo Shahata. And I'm believing God. I said, God, I believe all the money gonna come in. Oh, Lord, gonna be debt free. Gonna be debt free. I'm up at night. My stomach's starting to bottom again. Okay, I'm starting to feel the same sensation of the ulcers, the burning in my stomach, and all that. And I'll never forget. The Lord said to me, we had a loan out there with the bank, but I was trying not to touch it, not to use it. The Lord said to me, use the bank money because you're stressing. You're not resting. The Lord said, you're not in faith. I said, no, God, I believe you. The Lord said, no, go and get the bank money because you're not in faith. He said, now what you're gonna live longer if you just believe me to make those payments and then accelerate that than you are just believing this money gonna come in. And it wasn't that God couldn't do it. You understand? I was not into a place of rest. If you're not resting, then you're stressing. And if you're stressing, you're not resting. You can call and you say, I'm in faith. No, you're not. Well, why are you snapping at everybody if you're in faith? Faith ain't supposed to make you mean. Leave me alone now. I'm believing God for something. Back up off me now. I'm in faith. That ain't faith. So we which have believed do enter into rest. And he said, as I sworn, if they shall enter into the rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So Jesus has finished the work. Everybody say, Jesus finished the work. Genesis. Keep reading. Verse 4. For he spake a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in that place again, if they shall enter into my rest. If you have to make a decision to enter into the rest of God. Say that. Say, I choose to enter into the place of rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of what? Because of what? So what keeps us from resting?
Unbelief.
We can call it whatever we want to. It. So drop on down for the sake of time. All right. Drop down to verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. Are you the people of God?
Yes.
All right. Verse 10, for he that is entered into the rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. So once you enter into that rest, you're not trying to work this thing anymore. Now, watch this. That does not mean inactivity. Okay? That does not mean inactivity. It means it's not stressful activity. You understand? You're not panicking. You're not in panic mode, you know. So when you enter the rest, we cease from our own works as God did from his. Verse 11, here's the work. Remember the work. Here's our work. Let us what? Labor. What does labor mean? Work. Therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fail after the same example of what? Unbelief. So unbelief keeps us from entering to the rest of God. Our work is to believe God. That's the work. So your fasting is to get your mind, your emotions, your soul, and your spirit to a place that you just believe God, that you push beyond the flesh.
I'm glad you came back around to this. Psalms 35:13, it speaks of, I humbled my soul with prayer and fasting. And so when there's times where I'm challenged in the area of my faith because I'm so caught up in my head thinking about stuff or caught up in my emotions from what I see, what I'll do, I call a fast to deal with this fear or to deal with this anxiety or to deal with this stress I'm having. And so I go into a fast. A fast is just not taking, you know, making a decision. I'm abstaining from food. I am abstaining from food and other things, but I'm also putting my mind on God's word so I can get my mind off of my situation. So that's the laboring to getting to faith. It's my labor to get into faith when I'm struggling in an area of my faith is I call a fast and I got to get the word of God in my heart. So that means I open up my Bible and I begin to read the word and I meditate on the word and I go over the scriptures over and over and over and over and over and over again until that fear or that fear thought gets out of my head and gets out of my emotion. Now, how do I know that fear thought is out of my head and out of my emotion? I'm not anxious. I'm not sleepless. I'm not fearful. My emotions are not up and down. And so if your emotions are all over the place, we're not in faith.
Amen. So we started looking over the steps to how to fight with your faith. The first thing we said is you got to put your head in the fight. And we already gave you some keys how you get your head in the fight. If you got all this other stuff in your head, sometimes you may need to go on a fast. You need to get alone with God so you can clear out your head and get ready to stay in the position of faith. Put your head in the fight, because the battle first and foremost is won or lost in your mind. The second thing we said is that you got to show up, because you cannot defeat what? Come on, you cannot defeat what? You cannot say, I cannot defeat what I will not face. So you got to make up your mind that you're going to go forward. Okay? That you're going to go forward like God told Moses tell the children of Israel when they were concerned about the army of Israel, of Egypt behind them and the mountains on the side of them and the Red Sea before them. The Lord told them to go forward. Even though it looked like they couldn't go forward, the word of God was to go forward. Amen. And Deuteronomy 21-4, it said, when you go out into battle and see enemies and horses and chariots, don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you. The God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. It says when you go out. So you're going to have battle. Tell your neighbor. Say, you're going to have some battles. Amen. You're going to have battles in this world. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have obstacles. You're going to have people come against you. You're going to have all kinds of things happen. Sometimes it's of your own doing. Sometimes it's of the devil. Sometimes it's just circumstances. But stuff is going to happen. Amen. And so we started taking some lessons from Goliath. Did we not? 1 Samuel 17. Starting verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and they were so afraid. Okay. The last step I gave you is that you got to do what? You got to show up. So when David comes down, when they saw Goliath, they weren't showing up, were they? They were so afraid. They were running from the battle. You cannot win what you will not face. Goliath was taunting them day and night. Taunting them. He said, listen, come on out. Y'all got somebody big and bad enough? Come on out here. Come on. And so the two armies would be on two sides of the valley facing each other. And Goliath would run out every day and say, come on, y'all got somebody who's willing to fight me? And the promise was that the agreement was, if you defeat me, then all of the Philistines will voluntarily become your servant, your slave. And if we defeat you, you got to voluntarily become our slaves. And so David's father sends him down to the battle. Okay. He sends his brother. He sends him down to take his brothers some victuals, get some cheese and some peanut butter jelly sandwiches and battle food. Okay. He sends him down there to take them some provisions. And when they, verse 24 said, and the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were so afraid. Pick up at verse 28 of 1 Samuel 17. And Eliab, or Eliab, he's not here to correct this, David's eldest brother, David comes down, and three times he's asking people, now what's going to happen to the man that'll defeat this guy? They say, listen, if you defeat Goliath, your family's going to be made free in Israel. In other words, you and your family will never have to pay taxes again. And you get to marry the king's daughter. And so he asked him three times. He asked, what Bob said, have mouths, two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Now I can't prove this, but you can't prove me wrong. I think the third time he asked him, now what's going to happen? They said, well, your family get free from taxes and get to marry the king's daughter. And then he asked him, can you take out your phone and show me a picture? You got to know what you're fighting for. You got to know. You got to know whether it's worth fighting for. Okay, you got to know, is this a prize? All right? Okay, I can't prove that. Y'all can't prove me wrong. All right? And so David decided it's worth the fight. Somebody say it's worth the fight. You got to know the things that you're fighting for is worth the fight. It can't just be a water pouring contest. You understand? It got to be a fight worth fighting. Sometimes you're fighting stuff, you know. Sometimes you're fighting with your spouse. And stuff ain't worth fighting about. Just let them win.
Leave me alone.
Just let them win. I'm like, I ain't going to do this for whatever. There ain't no spoils in this. Okay? So you just got to let something is just not worth fighting for. Your children are worth fighting for. The marriage is worth fighting for. The remote is not worth fighting for. Well, it kind of is. Yeah, kind of is. Depending on what's on television. Okay? You got to know it's worth the fight. Pick up here 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou here with whom? He's trying to despise him. With whom have you left those few sheep? Boy, you need to be home to take care of those few sheep in the wilderness. I know your pride, your naughtiness and of heart. You will come down that thou mayest see the battle. And I love verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? In other words, don't somebody need to fight them? This is going on too long now. And you got to realize that sometimes this is a cause worth fighting for. All of his family, his brothers, are down there. None of his brothers are fighting. Okay. David saw that if I win this battle, this is not just a personal victory. This is going to be a victory for my whole family. Y'all are catching this here. Somebody in the family got to decide this is worth fighting for. Everybody else has always just laid down in this battle. Everybody stayed poor. Everybody's marriage has stayed messed up. Everybody, nobody ever owned a house. Everybody died of this disease. Somebody got to say, listen, this is worth fighting for, because when I win this battle, it's not just going to be for me. It's going to be for my whole family. Amen. When I was a kid, they used to say stuff like, you know, you and your whole generation. And y'all remember going over there? Not just you and your whole generation. You got to know when you're fighting sometimes, this is for you and your whole generation, your whole family. Somebody got to fight this battle. Somebody got to decide the devil has just, this has been a stronghold in my family for long enough. Is there not a cause? Doesn't somebody need to stand up? Doesn't somebody need to take on this fight? Doesn't somebody need to have enough courage to say, no, this is going on long enough? Doesn't somebody need to believe that if God be for me, who can be against me? Doesn't somebody need to believe that the greater one lives on the inside of me? Somebody got to believe this at some point and fight this giant, whatever it may be. Is there not a cause? Verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. David is somewhere between the age of 14 and 17. And he basically stands up and says, have no fear, David is here. And all these soldiers and these men, who are these great warriors, and this boy says, have no fear. Y'all chill out. Hakuna Matata. I got this. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant, he tells Saul, the king, shall go and fight with this Philistine. He made up his mind. He got his mind ready. And then the second thing, I'm going to show up for this fight. Everybody else is running, but I'm going to show up for this fight. Somebody say, I'm going to show up for this fight. Because you cannot win what? You cannot win what you will not face. All right? So David says, I'm going to show up. Look at verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in the scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He went towards. He didn't run from him. He drew near. He didn't just wait for him, for the enemy to come to him. He made up his mind. I'm going to fight this battle. He got on the offensive, not just the defensive. He drew near to him. Something else the Lord, very practically, the Lord showed me here. He took 5 smooth stones. How many did he use? He used one. He used one, but he's prepared for 5. Okay? Which tells me, I know God can get in this. God can get in this stone. But he was prepared from a practical standpoint. If the first one don't work, I'm going to try again. Come on now. And if the second one don't work, I'm going to try again. And if the third one don't work, I'm going to try again. He made up his mind. I'm willing to fight. And if it looks like the first one don't work, I still got some more stones in my bag. Have you thrown away all your stones? Or do you still have some stones to say, I'm still willing to fight? I may have missed the first time, but I'm going to hit him the second time. I'm going to hit him the third time. Faith keeps showing up. So he went towards the back. Then the third thing I want to get to you tonight, but still a week, another, is that you got to rehearse your past victory. The way that David was able to win the battle against this giant, he rehearsed his past victories.
Every battle that you encounter may not be a physical fight. Sometimes you will have to fight with your faith. Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey give you strategies to win in the spiritual realm. Order this powerful 5-part series today for your love gift of $25 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for How to Fight with Your Faith.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our 3 locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.